Non-stop talk radio, streaming 24 hours a day. TalkZone.com. TalkZone.com. Now, TalkZone presents Our Global Hope, World-Changing Leadership Talk, featuring Dr. Henrik Mann, discussing higher standard leadership through a broad scope of issues in the worlds of business, politics, nonprofits, international development, environment, media, and religion. Here's your host for Our Global Hope, Dr. Henrik Mann.
Hello, listeners of Our Global Hope. It's time for more world-changing leadership talk. We're here to explore our world through the lens of leadership, to give people a voice on what good leadership looks like from their local reality, and to explore the implications of a new triple bottom line definition of success, one that is focused on advancing the dignity of people, growing profit, and protecting the welfare of the planet. I'm Dr. Henrik Mann, president of GenCom International, a global management consulting and brokerage, and you can learn more about our show by looking us up on www.ourglobalhope.com. This morning, we're doing a special interview with our guest, and as a result, we're not going to have a listener call-in line available, so we want to invite you to save your questions for another time or contact us at our website. Last week on Our Global Hope, we discussed the special challenges and opportunities for the business community when operating within the proximity of a large world-class university like the University of California at Berkeley. This week, we're changing things up with a special interview with director Joe Berlinger, who is responsible for the movie Crude, C-R-U-D-E, which has opened nationwide in selected theaters recently. I've had the privilege of seeing the movie and meeting Joe briefly a few weeks ago. Welcome, Joe, to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Want to give an introduction to you so that our listeners can hear a little more about the scope of your background. Joe is Joseph Joe Berlinger, born in 61 and an American documentary filmmaker who, in collaboration with Bruce Sanofsky, has created such films as Paradise Lost about the West Memphis Three, Brother's Keeper, Some Kind of Monster, and obviously Crude. In collaboration with journalist Greg Milner, Berlinger has also written a book called Metallica, This Monster Lives, which is about his journey from making the poorly received Blair Witch 2 to creating Some Kind of Monster with Metallica, one of the world's most famous metal bands. Berlinger has also worked in TV series such as Homicide, Life on the Street, DC, and Fan Club. The first movie Berlinger directed in 1992 was a documentary, My Brother's Keeper, which tells the story of Delbert Ward, an elderly man in Mansfield, New York, who was charged with second-degree murder following the death of his brother William. Chicago Tribune film critic Roger Ebert, in his review of the movie, called it an extraordinary documentary about what happened next as a town banded together to stop what folks call a miscarriage of justice. Mr. Berlinger graduated from Colgate University in 1983 and lives with his wife and daughters in New York. That's quite a resume, Joe.
Well, somehow I seem to have stumbled my way through the film business for the last two decades. And it's, you know, as I say to my wife, it sure beats working for a living.
You're obviously happy and passionate about what you do.
Oh, I feel privileged and special, you know, that, you know, I'm incredibly grateful that I get to do what I do, which is I get to drop into these worlds, you know, sometimes for a week, sometimes for a month, sometimes for 3 years, and learn about new places and things and try to shine a light on injustice and the fact that people actually go see my films, and it allows me to actually earn a living doing it. It's, you know, very privileged because every film I've ever made has fundamentally changed my perspective and has changed me as a person. And I'm, you know, very grateful for that experience.
You know, when you talk about looking at a film, it's interesting that sometimes when we're watching a film, we can't help but talk back to the screen. That's the way I felt when I was watching it in Berkeley. I felt like I wanted to become part of the story. What do you hope will happen in the minds of people who get a chance to see the movie?
Well, I'm not naive enough to think that films can change the world, but I do think films can change individuals and can open people's minds and hearts up to different ways of acting. And I hope with Crude, in case viewers or your listeners don't know, it's about this class action lawsuit against Texaco that 30,000 rainforest dwellers are mounting because of the alleged destruction of their homeland by Texaco when it drilled in that region in the Amazon rainforest for 3 decades. And, I'm not sure the film is going to actually have an impact on the lawsuit itself because that's, there's too much money involved and it's just too big an issue. But the film has been very successful in helping to raise money to bring fresh drinking water to the region. The film, I hope, is very successful in changing people's awareness. I think Americans are, we've been used to extreme luxuries relative to the rest of the world and kind of an unbridled consumerism. And I think, I hope this film raises an awareness that our actions here and our consumption patterns have impacts on other people halfway around the globe who don't get any benefits but get all the misery. So, I think the film can create a dialogue, can help the discussion about our overdependence on oil. There's just a lot of awareness building issues that I think the film can generate.
When you think about putting together a movie, this one took you about 3 years. Can you share with our listeners what this movie cost you in personal terms?
This film was extremely difficult to make. We were shooting in a part of the world that, has a lot of danger to it, both natural and human created. I mean, we were a mile and a half at times from the Colombian border, and Colombia has the FARC guerrillas that are very active in this area and drug runners. That makes things a little dangerous. We were shooting at, Ecuador. The Ecuadorian rainforest is at the equator, so it's very hot. So when you're lugging camera gear around at the equator, that was difficult. These pollution sites that we were at smelled terribly, so that, we were at times filming in front of these massive pollution pits where the trial was actually taking place. And, within hours, you'd have a splitting headache and watery eyes just from the noxious fumes. And being around misery and absorbing that, you go back to your hotel room at times and you just want to cry for these people who, basically these 5 indigenous tribes, and there used to be 6, one of them is now extinct, but these 5 indigenous tribes who lived in harmony with nature, lived off the land, have had their homelands completely destroyed by oil production. And there are the stories I heard of cancer and other kinds of diseases just were heartbreaking. So, you just absorb, you're like a sponge and you absorb all this kind of heartache and you try to figure out a way to put it into your film. And then, this was the most I've traveled around the globe and done lots of things, but this was, I think, the most danger I ever put myself in. And as a father of 2 children sitting at home back in New York, you worry about those issues as well. My family certainly paid a price for me making the film. But when I first went down to the region and was shown the pollution and the misery, I just felt like, how could I turn my back on these people? I mean, I felt embarrassed to be an American, because an American company had played a role in this despoiling of what was once a paradise.
Sometimes people think that, an environmental disaster immediately places it in the realm of left-leaning politics, but you were just mentioning your sense of identity as an American. Do you think this is a right or left issue, or do you think this is a issue that really just gets down to the core of lifestyle that all Americans share?
Well, that's an excellent question. Unfortunately, these issues become left and right, and people get very divisive the moment you mention anything about big oil and the use of fossil fuels. And in fact, this is not an anti-oil film. I would be a hypocrite to make an anti-oil film since I drive a car and I flew to Ecuador on airplanes and heat my house with oil. I think as a society, we'd be pretty smart, you know, if we could figure out alternative means of energy. But this film is not that film. This film is a human rights film. And it also doesn't really take a position in the lawsuit in the strictest sense of the of what's technically correct from a legal standpoint. It takes a larger view of that multinational, you know, breezing into another country, even if it's at the invitation of the government, and disregarding the people that live there. So this is really a human rights film. It's a film about indigenous people who have been, you know, treated horribly at the hands of their own government and at the hands of a multinational corporation. Whether it's legal or not, whether it's justified or not from a legal standpoint, that's for somebody else to determine. So to me, it's a human rights film, and that should not be a left or a right issue. Americans pride themselves on being very attuned to human rights abuses, and the treatment of indigenous people over the last 600 or 700 years, from the Spanish conquistadors to, you know, how we founded our own country on the backs of American Indians, who we removed from the country, basically, and pushed onto reservations, or worse. You know, this film was kind of my wake-up call that white people have treated indigenous people abysmally. And, you know, we think somehow as Americans that that's kind of in the distant past. And to a certain extent, that's true. But it's my observation that, and one of the reasons I realized I was making the film, I didn't set out to make a film with this theme, but as I was making it, the theme emerged to me that, you know, multinational corporate behavior in the third world, in places like Ecuador, where the local environment and the local people are disregarded, is just the late 20th century, early 21st century continuation of this shameful treatment of indigenous people. You know, and Americans don't think about that enough, I think.
On this first segment, we're just kind of setting the stage for some further discussion, and I want to invite you to let people know where they can get more information about your movie and about the lawsuit and about any other particulars that you think would be important.
Yeah, I mean, the best place to start is our website, which is crudethemovie.com. That has a list of play dates of where the film is playing. There's also a list of organizations that people can get involved in if after seeing the movie they want to get more involved in the situation, which doesn't necessarily mean taking sides in the lawsuit. One of the things the film has done, and one of the things I'm most proud of, is that, you know, we've raised a lot of money for a freshwater drinking program for these people down there. Because, you know, the lawsuit, one of the themes of the film is this lawsuit has been going on for 17 years. It'll probably go on for another 10 or 15 years before there's any resolution. That's the nature of these kinds of conflicts, unfortunately. Meanwhile, the people who live there are there to suffer with the ill effects of pollution. And so one of the things the film captures is Sting, the rock star Sting, and his wife Trudy Styler, and it's mainly Trudy Styler's activities that the film documents, brings to Ecuador this freshwater drinking program in partnership with UNICEF, in which these filtered rainwater collection systems are established, which is really the first tangible benefit these people have received in a decade and a half of people intervening on their behalf. And so that's a project the film actively supports. We've used the film to raise a tremendous amount of money for that project, and I encourage people to get involved in that.
Okay, as we go into our first break, I want to remind our listeners that we're not taking live callers this week, and that you can learn more about our show at ourglobalhope.com. We'll be right back with Joe Berlinger for more world-changing leadership talk.